It's the American elections next week, but seeing as choosing between those two candidates is basically an IQ test, I think we should rather talk about their sport. Yes, on this episode of On the Bounce, we are talking American sports. What are they? What makes them so special? And more importantly, should you be caring more about them? I mean, we obviously all know who the Golden State Bulls are, and you know, obviously the New England Lakers, they've won so many Stanley Bowls. But what about the actual sports? Like the actual playing, the granular details. What do we need to know to become actual fans? I don't have all the answers, but I got two gentlemen on the couch over here that do. As always, Sandile isn't just here for the beers. And our other guest, our special guest today, is our 101 guy. You know, we've got these things on social media where there's a guy, a handsome one at that in glasses, telling you about the ins and outs of rugby, football, and Formula One. It is, of course, 104 kilograms of Greek thunder, Dimitri Leonitakianakis.
Close enough.
Close enough.
I'm the 101 guy, apparently, because I've got some expertise. And yeah, at least I can say my own surname. It's Leonitakianakis, but I guess it's the same as the Golden State Cowboys and the Super Stanley Bowl.
Now, the Super Stanley Bowl, we'll get to that in a second, obviously, because there's so many big bowls. But guys, American sports is one of those things, and forgive my terrible pronunciation of your name, but American sports is one of those things everyone knows like a smidgen, right? Because they almost feel like they have to, because everyone knows who LeBron James is. Everyone knows who the Lakers is. Everyone knows who's singing at the halftime show. But then nowadays, I feel like there's more pressure to know more and go further than that. So I think this is what is most important about the show. And I know it's all about American sports, but let's not look a gift horse in the mouth. Last week, James and Sandile went so hard at me. Liverpool is going to give Arsenal 4 goals, one-sided, bullshit. Anyway, Arsenal, unfortunately, they protested that last 20 minutes. Didn't get the win. But I tell you what did happen, though. Both of Sandile's teams. Kaiser Chiefs, well, how did they do?
Yeah, we got cheated, but okay, we took an L.
Oh, you went, so they played SuperSport United again, right?
And we fucking lost, but I knew Gavin Hunt.
1-0, done. And then Man United, the gift that continues to keep giving, no matter what.
Fuck.
2-1 down to West Ham. So our friend over here went from the highest of high to kind of the lowest of low. But let's just get away from that because I don't like piling on you.
Thank
you. I don't know if you noticed this.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
It's a good 45 seconds of airtime. He's just piled on.
Yeah, I hate piling on you, but
I fucking hate you.
I was setting the scene to what's really going down in football right now because the biggest news for the week, and will be for a while, because Man United are still a legacy team. Mm. They're still a big deal. Should Erik ten Hag have been given the slop? The chop.
The slop.
Look, the performances were sloppy.
That's a different thing altogether.
Should he be given a chop, or do you think
hold on, I got to stuff you there. That's a crazy thing to say. He should have, you know, results matter. But player accountability, and we had this conversation when your dad was around. We're in an era where players don't take accountability for poor performances. Dalot probably going to start today, and he fucking shanked an open goal. So, you know, it's a shame that players didn't buy into the system, but, you know, he gets paid a lot of money to bring results. He didn't do it, and, you know, we move on. So it's a fresh start, as I'd like to say, and the Ruud van Nistelrooy era for one game starts tonight.
Which is weird. I mean, the last interim manager he had was Michael Carrick, and in his he won two of his three games.
Yeah.
66% win rate is actually the highest of a Manchester United manager since Alex Ferguson. So let's see if Ruud can go for the big 100, one out of one. And maybe then he can get the slop.
Yeah. He can get the slop.
Look, either way, it's kind of weird because Van Nistelrooy, maybe his long-term play was like, I'll get behind a good manager here. A Dutch guy would really help my cause. And then I can be here for another 20 years and I have to get back into the real world. But now,
I think this was always the plan.
Well, the thing is, the new coach comes in. Let's just say that they bring the Oak from Sporting.
Yeah.
He's going to bring his own guys. He's not going to look at Ruud and say, you're my guy. He's probably going to go,
well,
slop.
I think they're going to make him. The slop thing is not a real thing.
I love it.
I think they're going to back Ruud as assistant coach because he literally just got there and that contract is so much money. So let's see what happens. But for me, I'm so glad that, you know, this part of my life is over and a fresh start, as everybody would say. So, yeah.
Can you leave your legends alone? How many legends are you going to bring in and ruin? You know what I mean? Like, leave them to retire in peace.
Didn't you guys have Steven Gerrard?
No. That's good.
Didn't he come coach for Rangers?
No, he flopped at Villa after a great season at Rangers.
And then you guys
and then he got found out and sent to the desert.
And then you guys at Lampard as
it was
well.
Always a plan to get him into the coach, but he didn't quite make it to the top.
Yeah. I think, I mean, like...
You didn't get the slop.
Yeah. On that point, I think bringing in non-legacy people is a good idea. Like Chelsea, obviously speaking with a certain amount of bias, has been flailing for a while. We bring in a dude who's got nothing to do with our system, nothing to do with our culture, nothing to do with... being bruised from seasons before. And
Thomas
Tuchel. This is the first time. God damn, rest in peace. I miss that boy. I miss him every day. I miss him every day.
But I mean, Frank Lampard Jr.
Maresca has come in and...
And he's jamming with
a young squad that's been notoriously hard to control. I mean, he's even getting something out of Sancho, which we saw Ten Hag couldn't do. So, yeah. I mean, I think Sandile is right. Like, Van Nistelrooy into assistant manager is probably a good idea, but bring someone in who's got nothing to do with the fucking club.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because trauma is a thing.
It is a thing.
The same golf course every 2 weeks. You remember your shank from last week on on the fourth hole, so you're probably going to pull it into the sleuth again. You know?
Hey, Ben, don't feel attacked.
I do shank the ball way too much for my abilities, which is very... I wasn't going to get into that. But look, none of you guys are going hard at Arsenal, so I'll go hard on Arsenal on all your behalves. I think there's something quite... because we need to get away from this and get back to our original show of American sports. Something really depressed me and distressed me about Arsenal last week. Okay, we know we've had the red card, the 10 men, and then they just go into like... capitulation mode to hold on. Arteta's ability to park a bus is just, or want to park a bus is worrying. You're 2-1 up, Liverpool weren't clicking, and it was just hang back. And then the entire back four capitulate into, I don't even know who was on the field towards the end there. Salah finally gets a pass of something decent. Goal.
And he only needs half a chance. So you park the bus at 2-1 against probably the team with probably the best conversion rate in the final
October.
Third.
Yeah.
In October.
But remember, it's that conversation we had about Saliba needing to show leadership and not committing that unnecessary foul. Because if Saliba's there, you kind of, you know, have the best centre-back in the world. He clears that ball. You guys take 3 points and, you know.
I also think it's a Saliba panic tactics. It's like we 2-1 up, but I don't have Saliba. Let me put as many men behind it as possible.
That might be fair.
You know, so the fact that he wasn't there in the first place is probably like, fuck, okay, let's get ahead and let's stop whatever we can. But the problem is like the first 35, 40 minutes, I saw the same thing in Chelsea versus Arsenal, is that the way you were making your way through the Liverpool midfield was so easy.
Yes.
It was so easy.
Was that order God?
And the fact that you weren't trying to pepper them and at least go 3, maybe 4-1 up before you park the bus, one goal's not a cushion.
It's not a big enough bay for a bus.
No.
Where we can wax lyrically.
Not even against a Bournemouth.
No.
You know? Sorry to bring that up. But like,
no, it does, guys. It hurts. Because, I mean, I still stand by it being the season, but I wouldn't mind a bit of leeway. I wouldn't mind just one weekend where I can bask in like a little bit of comfort. And this weekend at Newcastle, I'm not exactly that excited. I'm actually pretty excited about this. Because as you can see, the two guys in studio with me today, they actually own... apparel. American sporting apparel.
Yeah.
So after the break, we're going hard in the American sports. Catch you then.
For me, it is Man United's intention to go for backing the coach. We've revamped holistically from, you know, assistant manager, tactical, sporting directors. You know, we're revamping the club. It's an exciting time for Man United. If he loses 2 games in a row, he's probably not going to make it to...
Ten Hag out. Hashtag Ten Hag out, guys. That's a
true Man United fashion. Yes.
Welcome back. Episode 21 of the On The Bounce Show with me, Ben Karpinski, and my delightful array of guests. We've got James in the shadows here, but James will be a little bit more in the shadows this week because we're focusing on the American sports.
Yes, sir.
So Dimitri and Sadila are going to be joining me on this journey. So obviously, big disclaimer up front. When I say American sports, we're not going to talk about sports that Americans are good at. Mm. So golf's out of the picture, MMA,
Olympics,
pillaging,
minorities, gymnastics, all those kind of...
pillaging!
That was more England in the day.
Yeah.
So... we're going to throw that all away from the start, right? We're also going to throw away the other sports that we're not going to really care about. So cheerleading's gone.
Whoa.
Bull riding.
I care deeply about cheerleading.
I know, but it's just not a big enough sport in my mind. Bull riding, hot dog eating.
Yeah, out.
Jerry Chestnut.
Lacrosse, which is basically Quidditch without the magic.
I still don't get lacrosse. lacrosse.
Quidditch would not
the But that's the thing. We don't need to get lacrosse either because we're going to focus on the big ones.
Let me get my point, lacrosse.
So I ran a poll on X in the lead up to the show. Flex, you wouldn't mind just getting that graphic up there. Out of all the American sports that are consumed by average fans, obviously my X audience are a bunch of average fans, mm-hmm. as in they're cross spectrum, not that they're average in quality. So I asked, what are the sports that people like the most? What are they watching the most? And obviously the one that came out tops was
NFL.
NFL. NFL came up tops, baseball 14%, ice hockey 12%, basketball 27%, and then there we go, NFL right at the top.
And it's convincing.
I didn't think it was going to be that big between, you know, NFL and, you know.
Baseball. I thought it might have been bigger the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also feel that my X account gets truncated, huh? 888 views.
But you're quite popular, God damn.
I know. Hugely. Massively.
I got you.
I mean, at this stage, I'm C-grade sports personality at absolute least. Yeah, so the point being is that I thought basketball would be, it's an easier game to follow.
Yep.
It's a bit more exciting as far as it doesn't take all day. There's not so much stop-start. I think there's more recognizable names.
There's loads of Africans in the NBA.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's how we're actually going to structure the first part of our American discussion. Cool. Because my biggest thing with American sports is I don't watch it because I'm not entirely sure what's going on. Where's the state? Where's the season going? Am I going to watch for 4 weeks, 4 months, 8 months? How does it really work out? Because you want to know what you're going to commit to in life, like all relationships.
Yeah.
And the point of the show today is to get your average fan to care a bit more about American sports.
Yeah.
Look, we're also going to touch on baseball, NASCAR, the ice hockey, what really goes on with that, because that blew my mind between that and baseball. So let's start with the NFL, right? So you got about a 37% market share if you look at American sports as to what's consumed,
yeah.
as in like what people like, what they get behind. All 51 states of America play it.
Yep.
So hang on. I'm going to give you the breakdown here. There's 32 teams in total. Mm-hmm. They get split into two conferences. There's the AFC and the NFC. So that's the American Football Conference and the National Football Conference. From those two conferences, 16 teams are either side. Then get split into four teams of four.
Yep.
So your division is you and four and three other Oaks. So there's six division games. You play home and away. You then play four games against each other's conferences, two home and away.
Yeah.
Then there's an additional four games against other teams and other conferences, two home and away. And then you get two games against teams from two other divisions in the conference you haven't played yet. And then if you haven't touched one of the other conferences, you'll play one game in that.
Yep.
So that's quite hard, guys. It's quite hard to kind of get into. You play 17 regular games every single season.
And then we go into the playoffs.
In postseason, yeah.
And then you get the post. So there's a preseason aspect to it, but 17 games and a bye. So 18-week season is where I'm going with this. So August, regular season, stops in September. And then, January, kind of just it wraps up.
Yeah.
So.
Mouthful.
It's a mouthful, but which teams have you guys cared about over the past, like over the years?
Well, for me, I've never really. And I guess this is a blanket statement for American sports in general. I've cared more about players than about teams.
Right.
And I think because of what you've just said is a big kind of contributing factor to that. In other words, how the fuck do I follow a team? You used the word breakdown, and it took you 17 minutes to explain.
And I did badly with that. I've got to be honest with you. I think I researched that quite badly. It was hard. It was a hard get out.
It's a hard thing to nail down. So I've followed players. Like I liked the Raiders for a long time because the Raiders were the favorite team of NWA, and I loved NWA from a culture and music point of view. That's going to speak to like a lot of American sports now in general, right? So
sure.
I love the Raiders because I thought they were hard as fuck, and that's important. But I've always liked players, Ray Lewis, Michael Vick, both of the Ravens, dudes who are kind of fringe dudes who came through and became kind of rock stars in their own right. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs lately have become everything because of Travis Kelce dipping into the world of pop stardom.
I thought you were going to say dipping into Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That sentence almost was going to finish itself.
Exactly the same thing as what I said, right? So, and Patrick Mahomes kind of positioning himself as a man, you know, I guess the Brady follow-on, the kind of succession plan for Tom Brady. So, to answer your question, I love and understand the NFL and how it works, but because of how complicated it is to stay locked in on a team, you kind of lose a bit of focus. I want the players that I like to do well, but I've never really backed a singular horse throughout an entire season.
So obviously Super Bowl is a big deal.
Yeah.
Just like an average season though, like another stat for you is quite interesting. 67,591 is your average game attendance. At stadiums.
Yeah.
Obviously the stadiums are pretty big.
Yeah.
But what I find mind blowing is that that number isn't as big as college football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The college football is the thing. It's like a world altogether by itself.
Yeah.
And for those 3-4 years that you're in college, that is like some of their sports careers. It's the height of heights.
2013, yeah. Michigan versus Notre Dame. 116,000 people at one game. Yeah. It's one of the records for any sports event ever. And that's like, imagine going to watch like Tux versus Potchefstroom. And there's like,
but it's packed.
More than 5,000 people there. It's fucking hard to imagine. But that's a funding conversation. Yeah. You know,
so it's indeed, I think Dimitri touches on so much there as far as like your armchair kind of touch on American sport from afar.
Yeah.
How do you feel about NFL? What are the major hooks that you feel make the sport interesting?
I think for me, it's what he talked about. It's about the marketability of that sport. I remember growing up, I used to play Madden a lot. So that was, you know, my first introduction into NFL. You know, it's an easy game to, you know, get into. It's super exciting. So we, you know, me and my brothers always used to play, you know, Madden. And that was... I collected Madden until about a year ago.
Yeah.
So that is a big thing about American sports, is the marketability and how they always put it in your room. And that's how you always end up finding out how the things work and how plays work. I mean, John Madden is one of the greatest NFL coaches. I've never watched any of his games because he was a coach in the 70s and 80s. But the marketability for him as a product, you know, I think it goes in even to this day. So... that is a strong thing. Team supporting, similar to you, it was always...
Sorry, just to get back to Joe, man, because he's like the Hugh Bladen of American football, basically.
Yeah, but he was...
He got the post-career golden handshake of note with
that. Yeah, and that was EA Sports' first major deal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they started going back into the history of who John Madden was. And I was like, oh, he was actually a Buck coach before a commentator. And he's basically one of the all-time great, you know, NFL, you know, ambassadors, you know, because he was literally in everybody's room, even if... you're from South Africa, you know, so that's where you learned about that. And then you start getting into, you know, iconic players, people like Deion Sanders. And Deion Sanders now is a huge coach in Colorado, where we're now watching college games, and he's like a D1, D2 coach. But the marketability on Deion Sanders is one of the best defensive guys. I'm sorry, I'm a nerd about this, but he's all-time. Jerry Rice, for me, was all-time. But now moving into the modern era, Tom Brady, and ultimately after Tom Brady, you know, you go into Pat Mahomes, who's really about to challenge Tom Brady as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you know, because we write him off every single season, but he always finds a way to get into the Super Bowl and always find a way to win. And then you've got real, like, superstars like Lamar Jackson, who's going to make a big run. So, yeah, you know, it's really about the marketability of the sport, and it's going to touch into things like hip-hop culture and how, you know, in most of the American sports, hip-hop culture plays a huge, you know, marketing exercise into that, you know. So the marketability of those sports are, you know, something very noteworthy.
Brands, bro. Brands.
Look, if you sit down to a game, first thing you're going to say is, why are there so many people? So you get your offensive team and your defensive team. So anytime on the field, there is 11 players each time. So your defensive line basically is a line of three.
Yep.
There'll be 11 players. So that's where you get the big fatties up front. And some pretty sturdy guys around the back.
Your
offensive, you still got the fatties in there because they've got to be on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And the quarterback runs the show. There's a good reason why the quarterbacks get the girls and the money and all the plaudits, because they basically run the game.
Yeah.
I know in rugby you get the flyer if he's pretty good and handsome, but a quarterback is everything. To know all the calls, to execute. You're always the leader of the team. All the guys you mentioned there, I mean, those are stars for various reasons. The stress levels of these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, Tom Brady looks like he's got a nice life. But what that oak has to go through, it's on him as well. Yeah. So that's how it works. You've got the defensive and the offensive. And that's how it kind of goes over four quarters. 6 points for a touchdown, one to scorp it over. That's pretty much that's what you need to know, right?
Yeah.
Depends. Also, like, you can do a throw for 2 points as well.
Yeah.
So if you elect to kick for poles, you get one point, but then you can
take a first down on the line.
And if you throw another touchdown, you get two points.
You can go, so if you're chasing the game, generally what happens is if we're down a point and you're trying to close the game, call quarterback draw and just quarterback jump over the line and hope for the best and get a 2 points, or you shank it and lose by one.
But there is something quite beautiful, and Dimitri and I, in our green room before this, you know, you were saying that there's not many sports where pretty much everyone can have a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at, I just mentioned now, you get an offensive and a defensive within that structure, and you also get a kicker. You can just be the kicker.
Nice putter player.
Dallas Cowboys, bro.
Nice putter. He was a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, that's...
He went from Loftus Versfeld.
But then he said, yo, points.
Take me to Texas, baby.
Nice, awesome things. Man. The next one, and Sandile, this is something that wrecks your sleep patterns. The NBA, the wonderful sport of basketball.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to give you a quick little rundown of some key stats around NBA, right? So you're looking at about 11% of the market. So it drops off quite heavily because the NFL's got 37%, okay? Now we're talking eyeballs, we're talking revenues, all these kind of things. Down to 11, but it's almost triple the amount of participants because you get the men and the women.
Yep.
Played in all across the states, but obviously less barrier to entry, less physical, it's more athletic. So there's that. There's 30 teams that play in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's a much easier thing to follow here.
Yeah.
You've got the Eastern Conference, you've got the Western Conference. But every single team plays a staggering 82 games a season.
Yeah, before playoffs.
Before the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll let you get more into that because I know this is your favorite, right?
Yeah, this is my thing. And also, fun fact, one of the biggest growing sports in the world, basketball. Yes. And I think that's the difference.
Well, we saw at the Olympics. I mean, it was so big at the Olympics because so many countries cared.
Yeah, and you know, we've got superstars from Europe and Africa now representing in the NBA, Joel Embiid winning MVP recently, which is a big growth for the African game. So, you know, the same thing like the NFL in my room, you know, playing NBA Live, going into 2K. But for me, I started loving the sport, Kobe Bryant in 1996. It was on Engine in the Zone. That's how old I am, guys. Engine in the Zone on SABC when SABC was, you know, giving me all the NBA in the world. That's how I fell in love with basketball, and that's how I support the Lakers, because of Kobe Bryant and, you know, that marketability around the NBA. But I also think the consistent nature of it being affiliated to hip-hop, which is also one of the biggest cultural growths, has always been anything. So from sneaker culture through to, you know, Jordans that people wear everywhere, you know, that's how, you know, the NBA sport has always stayed consistent.
So many hooks, eh?
Yeah, so culturally, it's one of the biggest growing things. You know, you've got shoes, gear, caps, which is unlike the NFL. Nobody's really wearing Odell Beckham ones. So,
but also, it's the actual team kit, as well, the stuff they play in, is pretty stylish.
Yeah,
thank you.
You got the, exactly. I mean, thank look you. At Dimitri over here.
Yeah, he's or any guy in Bedford View.
There's also that.
Oh, you go to H2O and it looks like an NBA party.
Yeah, just
because in a basketball vest with, like, good-sized biceps and tattoos, it's a fashion statement in itself.
100%.
The sport goes from court to street so seamlessly.
Yeah.
You're not going to see an oak dresser rock up in fucking pads and a helmet in the NFL.
I mean...
Unless it's Halloween.
100%.
But that's back to what Sandile was saying earlier, and I think that the Americans' ability to market and build brands out of individuals, and not just franchises, out of individuals.
Mm.
Jordan, Kobe, Devin Booker, Allen Iverson,
you know.
Kevin Durant hasn't been called Kevin Durant in 6 years. He's easy money sniper.
Easy snipe.
You know, so like, no, but for real, they created brands out of these people.
Yeah.
It's like what Rusty's done, sorry to cross codes here, but it's like what Rusty's done with the Bomb Squad.
Yeah.
Right, like, why is the Bomb Squad as effective as it is? Not just because you've got seven unreal players on the bench, it's because he's branded
that.
And he's given them something, he's given them a banner to kind of live and operate under. So... Also, like, let's speak to in our rooms, playing these games, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
one thing that we haven't been able to, like, address yet as South Africans talking about American sports is that, like, the young South African kids could see themselves on TV for American teams a lot earlier than they could see themselves on TV for South African teams.
That's true.
You know, if you're watching the NBA in the 80s and the 90s, you're watching yourself on TV, whereas you know, you're trying to watch Kepler Vessels and the boys play cricket overseas. It's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean,
how
many small kids are taking fictitious three pointers from like their back garden in the garage or whatever?
And they're shouting Kobe when they shout it, bro. They're not shouting.
And they think their life's in slow mo as they go for that.
But it's true. Yeah. I think like the Americans have been able to make heroes out of sportsmen before anybody else could, and I think the NBA is the best.
Yeah,
that's ever done it.
So I'm just going to say thank you. You're the first person to mention Kepler Vessels out of 21 episodes
of
The Bouncer.
I would say that was huge.
We should have taken a bit of an office pool here.
Yeah.
21
Kepler
episodes.
Kepler Vessels.
Right,
using him as a representation fact. But yeah, anyway. He played for Australia too.
But now the thing about this is that I'm not a skeptic. It's just that my bandwidth is quite low for sports, so it's hard to get into it. And then a lot of people say, oh, but this, and all the different hype. And you think about it, it's just hype. But all the names you just mentioned, all these different things here, they come from a good spot. It's because of the way the sport is structured. Mm. You create high-stakes moments where people really care. That's when stars are born.
Clash.
It's not just like it's like lacrosse. You go out and you do this and you do that.
Yeah.
NBA, the NFL, they create these clutch moments where heroes are born, basically.
100%.
And that in itself is a great indication of why these sports are good and should be cared about.
100%.
So that was me being very diplomatic as we wrap that up. Mm. Getting back to basketball, right?
Yeah.
Two halves.
10 minute quarters.
Okay. 3 points outside the dungus, outside the ring.
Outside the 3 point line.
Yeah. 3 point line, probably and much better
inside
that.
Inside two. The key is two.
Anything inside the key is two.
And if you're going up and you get fouled, you go to the free throw line and shoot two free throws.
1 point each.
1 point each.
See, it's easy. Got you. I mean, this is the thing, right? So when you do watch a game or you got some sort of like aficionado at a bar who's watching highlights.
Yeah.
Smugly, it's like, yeah, I watched this game last night, but I watch it again now. And I wake up at 3.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the main things if you do sit down for a game. But are these games always at a cuck time? Pretty much, because obviously East Coast is going to be better from a South African perspective, 100%. Right? To watch it.
Yeah, so, I mean, East Coast games are really easy. I know the Lakers are playing the Cavs today. It's 1 o'clock. On Tuesday, the Laker game was at 4 o'clock. But if you have something like the Olympics or EuroLeague, it's easier for us to watch that type of sport. So the Olympics were really great because the world got to now watch NBA players representing every single country. I think it must have been the most diverse now with different countries. Luka Doncic playing for his side, Greek Freak playing for his team. That is why I think
I love these
nicknames.
Nicknames is how Dimitri's in your lexicon.
that's why for me, the NFL. As great as it is, it really doesn't have global superstars, whereas basketball has global superstars where anywhere they go in the world, it's going to be a show.
No, that's good. It is interesting. Okay, final question on basketball, because I want to blow your mind about baseball stats.
Yeah.
What's your routine if there is a 4 o'clock game on a Sunday? How do you conduct your life?
Oh, I have to have a nap. I have to have a nap, set the alarm on.
Okay, so you go to bed at normal time?
Yeah, normal time.
Normal time?
He's lying. You go straight through, bro.
No, I can't do straight
through.
You
go straight through, bro.
The only way the straight through happens is if on a Saturday if I've gone out, and I can't risk it.
Okay.
And it's five. That usually just happens in the playoffs because 82 games, I'm going to miss some games. Mm. Those regular season games are too hectic. And midway through the season, and this is a nice thing about the NBA before we move on, is that they've added the in-season tournament. They've taken from what we do in football with the Champions League. They said, 82 games, we've got to try and make it a little bit exciting. And what's cool about the NBA in-season tournament is every player wins, $500,000 USD if you lift, the Vegas trophy, which is a good incentive for them, instead of, putting in our B-side. So that's what's dope about, the in-season tournament.
One last thing about basketball. Who knew I would only speak so long about basketball? But I love the influence on the African continent. You know, take a country like South Sudan.
Yeah.
It's a war zone.
Yeah.
You badly get travel insurance. It's not the most palatable place to go to. There's a lot of hope there, right?
Yeah.
But as in sport, it can really bring talent out, give people hope, give them a sort of like North Star to kind of go towards.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, again, basketball, the barrier to entry isn't like the other sort of big things.
You need a hoop
things.
And a ball.
Mm. You need a hoop and a ball. And obviously, gymnastics plays a part. Short guys, not so great.
Yeah.
Tall guys, this is your game.
Yeah, and so I would be completely discredited not to make the shout-out. Shout-out to Dikembe Mutombo, who was probably the biggest icon in Africa because outside of the basketball game and him being a Hall of Famer and four-time Defensive Player of the Year and an eight-time All-Star, I hope I got that right.
Yeah.
His philanthropy in Africa and growing that game was probably the biggest. So, RIP Dikembe Mutombo. Had to throw that in there.
American sport doing amazing global things.
100%.
And we can give that the tagline.
Yeah.
Okay, baseball. Now, baseball is going to bore you shitless.
So, hey, Ohtani.
Not really.
See, this is why I got a panel, because it can't just be me and my thoughts.
Yeah.
So, baseball has got like an actual game time of about, one 700th of what the game actually lasts for.
Yeah.
So, baseball this season, it goes from April to October. Mm. Obviously, summer sport.
Yeah.
30 teams. Playing this whole thing. Sandile, we'll start with you. Can you guess how many regular season games every one of these 30 teams play between April and October?
It's got to be 62.
Dimitri, we'll go to you.
It's like 100 more than that.
162 games per team, per regular season.
He gave me the assist.
Regular games?
They play. So it breaks down their conference and all that kind of stuff. In their immediate,
and it's long, bro.
In their immediate, like, pool division kind of, okay, they play each other 17 times. Can you imagine Kaizer Chiefs versus Supersport United 17 times?
There would be no Orlando Stadium.
Is that just regular season, or is that including the playoffs?
That's a regular season.
Well, think about the playoffs right now, Dodgers versus Yankees.
Yeah.
They played yesterday. They're playing tomorrow again. Yeah. So the turnaround time is also like ridiculous,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah, it's just never ending. I'm sure there's lots of nuance. I mean, Dimitri, what do you really like about
it? I've been to a baseball game.
Okay, great.
In real life.
Yeah.
I've also been to an NBA game. I was so severely jet lagged and I was like loving the game. And then the halftime show was like, it felt like I was watching Lawrence of Arabia. It was like 8 hours long, dude. It was probably the jet lag. But the thing about, like, you know, a game of cricket at the Wanderers, the ball ring, you're drinking warm Castle Lager, you got a watermelon in your head. You're cool, you're locked in for a long day and you're chilling. You go to the MLB game. So I watched the Red Sox versus the Mets in 2010. And it is without doubt the longest sporting event I've ever been to. You're kind of like, okay, cool, I've had 6 hot dogs now.
What's happening?
You know, like, what's the story? Because you can also watch innings change over without any real action. And I guess this is one of the barriers to cricket as well, is people's like, oh, I don't want to play or watch cricket because you can play for 5 days and there's a draw.
Yeah.
And, sure, you know, so there are some parallels between the game that we love here and the game that the Yanks love over there. But it is exciting because it is much like the NBA. I think the MLB has done a lot for representation and vibes. So each player has a walkout song that they choose their own. You've had guys, you know, Hispanic players from Venezuela and Honduras and Caracas playing from Humans. Before, you know, from before those sorts of players and those sorts of people were even allowed to sit in bars in America. They were playing for the Yankees and they were playing for the Red Sox. So also in Japan, I mean, baseball is the biggest sport in Japan.
Huge in Japan.
So one thing I loved about it was when I was there, I was looking around and it wasn't just like, we're going to the ball game. There were lots of different Americans there. And the vibes were huge, but god damn, dude, I felt like I was watching the longest sporting event I've ever seen. Yeah.
But was baseball created to defy the British and cricket? Because, you know, like America versus England back in the day.
I think they tried to make an exciting version of...
It's like, you guys play your cricket, but we don't like you, so we're going to play... baseball.
Oh, they just couldn't figure out what leg spin was. They decided not to bounce the ball. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, going back to what you're saying, and it's something that was probably going to be the thread with, you know, American sports is the iconic players in, you know, and one thing about, you know, baseball is, thank God that this MLB, what is it, series? No,
I was the World Series.
The World Series.
My favorite thing about American sports, by the way.
Well, the World
if you
Series
win, you're the world champion of everything.
Sorry, just to jump in. You get the regular season, then it goes to the Wild Card Series, the Divisional Series. So this is very much like the NFL.
Yeah.
Then you get the Championship Series, which is obviously the best conference teams.
Yeah.
And then the final is the World Series.
So with
the
two
world, become one, as the Spice Girls say.
What's dope about this World Series is that you've got Yankees versus Dodgers, East Coast versus West Coast, tying back to hip hop and tying back to all those elements. That's why it's such a popular one. And, you know,
you saw Ice Cube and Fat Joe did the intros,
and the halftime shows. And those two franchises and the, you know, the Boston Red Sox versus the Yankees have been so iconic, you know. And like I said, MLB and that game has always been in people's houses if you were messing with American sports. That's how, you know, a lot of people know Manny Ramirez, people know Derek Jeter, people know, you know, Soriano. I've never been to an MLB game, but I've played, you know, MLB on my PlayStation and it sat me there for a long period of time. Then you go get the Yankee cap, you know, then you go get the Jeter jersey.
Brands again
and marketability of these athletes who suck you into the sports. I mean, Derek Jeter, you know, I've never seen him play in any Olympics or anything, you know, bigger than that. But he's regarded as one of the greatest captains in any single sport.
And Kenny Powers.
He's bound it down, baby.
And these are the things we talk about American sports in terms of just the globalization of even the sports that don't really come out. You know, their athletes are so well backed by these brands. that you'll find them in your room or in South Africa, you know.
Here's one of my favorite things at the moment. Like, baseball is called America's favorite pastime.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
America's favorite pastime.
It's a nice way of saying.
The biggest player in the world right now is from Japan.
Japan. And yeah. He is.
And he's the biggest franchise player of all time.
And making money.
And making real
money. I guess they realize, like, sports-wise, we're just sucking the high and T tier, so we're going to call it America's favorite pastime.
Yeah, so I think they called it that because it takes so much American pastime to watch.
It becomes a pastime. So the basics around that would be you get a pitcher.
Nibble.
Generally one or two tops go through the whole game. The guy's pitching like shit, he'll get
subbed.
Yeah, they got Omizek and they've got like, it's like a bowling attack.
Yeah, it's like a bowling
your
attack.
Opener gets pumped, you bring on the first change. Yeah.
And then you get guys who have, they're on the actual bases itself, catching the ball to try to run the oaks out. You get a guy who's going to clap the ball. If he gets a home run, whoever's on the bases, that's how many runs you get.
Yes.
So if he claps it by himself, and it's just by himself, you only get the one.
So in the last game, well, two games ago, because they play them so often, there was the first ever World Series Grand Slam walk-off.
Walk-off? Really?
So let's talk about phrases again. First ever World Series Grand Slam walk-off. And it was basically...
The bases are full.
Bases are loaded. Dude on first, second, and third. And this guy just comes through and he hits a home run, which is four runs in the final innings, and they're one by one. So it's a walk-off if you finish.
Yeah.
And it's the first time there was a Grand Slam walk-off in the history of World Series.
Which is handy because the 9 hours prior to that, everyone was just basically
It was the complete opposite.
It was just like a nil-nil.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to ice hockey and then wrap it up with what else you need to know about American sports. Ice hockey, 32 teams. Canadians get into this too, which is technically American.
Canadians dominate.
Dominate. Those are the bruise.
Currently, seven Canadian teams, 25 USA teams make up the 32 teams. Two conferences, then goes down, just like the other sports, into four divisions from there. They play from October to April, so that's obviously baseball stops. Baseball, the postseason, all those things, runs through the whole of October, kind of ends November. Ice hockey then starts October through to April. How many games each, guys? Regular season.
Do I go first this time?
Go.
85.
What you got?
I think it's got to be smaller. It's got to be like 60-some.
Same as the NBA, 82 games.
Why is it the American?
Nothing beats baseball.
Baseball's crazy.
The game that takes the longest also has the most games.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it's actually kind of weird. So between those 82 games, you get a chance to go into the Stanley Cup playoffs. So basically top 16, and you get a cup that every girl between the age of 16 and 35 hope for. No, it's actually way more impressive than that. It's about this tall.
It's huge. It's the most obnoxious trophy I've ever
It's
seen.
Great.
Yeah.
It's like someone took it off to the company and they said, okay, we need a trophy like this. And they got the dimensions all wrong, or they just added zeros because it's impossibly large and obnoxious. Yeah. But I do love that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like ice hockey, it's basically hockey on ice. There's nothing more to tell you. Just it's more aggressive. There's more fights.
Free fighting. Yeah. They let you
but
fight.
But it's actually like it's a massive part of the game.
I mean,
the one thing that we haven't touched on yet, I guess, across sports is like how America's, you know, again, back to the marketing, flooded our Netflix feeds and with essentially educational content on all of these sports.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, it was a movie called Goon, starring Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
He played iconic Steve Stifler in the American Pie series. Don't introduce him to your mother. He's probably already met her. Sorry.
Yeah.
But,
damn.
But yeah, so Goon is basically a pseudo spoofy documentary about goons and hockey teams, which are guys who are hired in forces to protect the star player. And it started with Wayne Gretzky. I mean, Wayne Gretzky is the GOAT. I think a lot of people would say that he's one of the best sportsmen of all time, just based on his kind of win record.
Yeah.
I can't say yes or no because I don't know much about hockey, but Gretzky was so small and so nimble that he was scoring a stupid amount of goals. There's like scary stats about this guy, which we can probably share on socials after this, but they had to create a position to protect Gretzky because the only way they could stop him was by fucking him up.
Yeah.
So they're like, let's find the biggest Canadian son of a bitch of all time and get him to beat other people up before they beat Gretzky up.
Yeah.
And now some of the highest played players in the NHL Enforces. Are guys who just beat the shit out of other people. And I really like that.
That's cool. So they kind of create like a safety.
Yeah, and the refs don't even interrupt. They're like, yo, guys, go for it.
It's gloves off, bro. It's
gloves off
is the real thing. And they accept the red card for like 5 minutes. They come back and then they fuck people up again. It's so cool.
But what you talked about Wayne Gretzky, once again, it's one of those athletes who was in your room, in your house. You don't know NHL, but the world is going to teach you about how great Wayne Gretzky is. Then he moved to the biggest market. He moved from Canada. He was probably one of the biggest NHL stars. And then he went to LA. And that's where the game changed. And you had cartoons about him. And like those cartoons, forget the name of the cartoon with him and Jordan.
Yeah, me
and
too, all. But I remember.
Yeah, but it was literally on your TV. And these are, you introduce these characters on a global stage and people buy in. And that platform creates your Sidney Crosbys now, who are, you know, iconic players in the NHL. And, you know, it's the obnoxious nature of the NHL, them having that Stanley Cup that is, you can't lift. But it's also such an exciting sport. And
was the Stanley Cup actually modeled on the size of Wayne Gretzky?
It's bigger than him.
It's bigger than him.
You can't lift it, bro. It's like,
yeah.
His daughter, fun fact, is now married to Dustin Johnson.
Yes, has been for a while, yeah. Even more fun fact, she was the first female on the Golf Digest magazine cover.
I've just been out-fun-facted,
right? That was like having a plus four Uno card just way too long time.
That missed me and I changed direction.
It was actually a very controversial moment in golf because obviously there's been women golfers around for a very long time. But because she was Wayne Gretzky's daughter
and married
Dustin Johnson, she was the first woman on the golf. Essentially, she was representing female golfers, but she wasn't. You got to sell stuff, okay?
You got to sell stuff. And Americans are great at that.
Now, what do you guys know about NASCAR?
It goes round and round in circles.
Correct. That's pretty much the first rule of NASCAR.
And if you don't chew Big Red, then fuck you.
So NASCAR literally is, it's oval circuits. So you can pretty much leave it at that.
Yeah, that's...
Look, I mean... Like
Jordan owns part of a team.
I didn't know that.
Look, I know it's a jaw. So this is the thing about NASCAR, right? 10 months. So again, it's not exactly short. February through to November, 38 races where this road show goes from oval track to oval track.
Yeah.
You're like when you're in, I don't know how many are on F1, I need to count that number, but every country and track has got something special about it.
Yeah.
NASCAR, you're just taking your V8 to this place, and to this place, to this place, where the demographic, I think, are hootering and hollering in the background.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking similar.
I think that's the main thing, is like, let's just go show people how big our own trucks are.
Yeah.
See how many Bud Lights we can drink before we drive home.
Yeah.
And then go to church on Sunday.
Sometimes consistency is the best play, huh?
I find it terrifyingly boring. I struggled with F1 before I understood more, but I just don't see, I don't struggle anymore, but I don't see how anyone could ever get me excited about NASCAR. Ever. I guess in the
Not
flesh.
Not even Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder.
That's a completely different story.
Not
I
even
think
Ricky
we should
Bobby
have an episode.
Yeah, look.
A different. Ricky, a baby. Obviously, I like
Talladega Nights all the time.
Yeah, I just don't see the appeal.
Yeah.
But then again, don't knock it till you've, I guess.
Don't knock it until you've watched someone who likes it watching it.
Yeah. Watch.
Thank you. Thank you,
it's
Aristotle.
It's like Inception of how these things go.
Don't knock it until you've watched someone who likes to watch it. Watch it.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I've got a lot of respect just in the back of this conversation around, obviously, the NHL, the nuances around that, what makes the season so great, and, of course, ice hockey, too, out of nowhere. And the NBA, of course, and, of course, where it's going with the sport. Something else, I'm going to wrap up from here. If you're a starter, what are you telling people to do? Basketball. Do you think basketball could be the gateway sport to the rest of the American sports?
Yeah, and just go watch Starting Five on Netflix.
That's it.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
Because that's how it is, right? I mean, The Last Dance, that's another one.
I think, I'd start with Starting Five, though, because...
Modern era.
Yeah, it's modern era, and it's more about the game. Whereas, you know, Last Dance is an ode, basically, to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Starting Five, which, by the way, is totally worth the fucking hype. It's so cool.
Signed off on season two as well.
Yeah.
That's what I love, right? Because, as you said, like, you weren't a Formula One fan. There was a lot of people recently.
Drive to Survive.
Drive to Survive. That's the thing.
That was a cultural shift.
Or just go buy a pair of Jordans. Go buy a throwback for, you know, your girlfriend or whatever. I'm not going to tell you to wake up at 4 o'clock. You will get there slowly.
Yeah. Get there yourself.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Sindila's beer is empty. This glass is empty. I've been eyeing it from the corner of my eye.
Problematic.
We do need to get into what's happening for this weekend, so we can wrap up the section over here. Catch you back after this little break where you get to see more of Dimitri's face.
Hi. What does the average South African driver and a Formula One champion have in common? That's right. Not much. Except fuel management. Vandaag, we're diving into the world of fuel management, which as South Africans, we know all too well. In every race, each team starts with a regulated amount of fuel, so drivers can't just floor it like M3 drivers between robots. Managing fuel is a delicate balance between speed and economy.
A driver must often lift off the throttle or brake later to save fuel, especially on long straights. During this season's more endurance-facing races, we've seen some savvy fuel conservation turn a mid-pack runner into a podium finisher. Further proof that Formula One isn't just driving around in circles, it's actually bloody technical and pretty cool. So if you want to sound like you know what the f*** is going on, tune in next time for Formula 101, brought to you proudly by Heineken 0.0, where we give you the 411 on Formula One to make you look less dumb. Until then, stay in your lane.
Welcome back. We are 1 week away from the Springboks playing again. I know it's kind of weird. I know I'm this guy who's been counting down the days. Scotland, we're coming for you. And this weekend, as a result, there's nothing. There's no URC. So that's fine. Because you know what else is happening right now? Yes, Sandile, you are right. Cricket. Look how your facial expression does not change. The Proteas are doing well. We're about to wrap up a Bangladesh 2-0 series here.
301 innings from one South African batting outfit. I don't...
Dezorzi, Stubbs, Mulder.
All first time. 100 scorers for the Proteas, by the way. This is fantastic news.
And as we mentioned earlier, I mean, every Monday, if you follow us on social media on Instagram, we do a bounce back feature. And this week, we just got the entire summer for you. You can scroll through on the little carousel there. You get all the fixtures because we're going deep this summer. We're going deep into Sri Lanka, Pakistan, and India. India gets here on the 8th. That is our first game.
Yeah.
So that's the T20 series. Kicks off. Got the T20s. India, interesting enough, hammered by New Zealand at home.
Yep.
Now, I mean, look, even if you don't like cricket, that is a big thing.
That's a big deal.
It kind of bugs me how good New Zealand are. Just won the T20 Women's World Cup and just absolutely trousered India in India 2-0.
Trousered, such now a imagine hectic word. Being,
you know, New Zealand's a very frustrating sporting nation in general.
Yeah.
There's like 5 million people there, bro. And they show up to like 2 billion strong India where 95% of them play cricket and say, how's your mother?
Yeah.
Well, the ones saying how's your mother are 5% of the 5 million, basically. They're just the guys who don't want to tackle.
Yeah.
Go play cricket.
That's it. Cricket is not even a big thing.
It's tiny. But yet, they just seem to have, they have something that if we could tap into as a nation, I mean, I'd be so jealous. So the third test between those ones, can New Zealand make it a clean sweep? I don't know. The interesting thing about India, where they are right now in cricket, is that they're going to Australia for a 5-test series.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when you've got the money, you make it rain with fixtures. They're playing 5 tests against the Aussies starting on 22nd of November. They'll be there all the way through until January. That tour is so long, they'll have accents. We don't have that luxury. It
feels like a Major League Baseball game.
Okay, moving on. Premier League this weekend. Such a big weekend for Arsenal.
Oof.
Again, like I said to you at the start of the show, I just want a weekend where I can go, awesome guys, 3-1, played great, looked solid.
Like Bournemouth.
Striking some fear into the opposition. That's all I want this weekend. That is Newcastle away, 2:30.
Could be interesting.
Liverpool are hosting Brighton. They were pretty shoddy against Arsenal, to be fair. Bournemouth are hosting Man City. That's Saturday at 5. Sunday, interesting. Spurs. What's happened to Spurs? It's lost to Crystal Palace.
Nobody cares about Tottenham Hotspur.
Also, what do you mean, what's happening to Spurs?
This is the most Spurs thing to do.
My bad. Sunday's big game, of course. Of course.
Relegation battle.
Man United versus Chelsea. It is already.
Sandile versus Dimitri.
So whenever there's a game against Man United, Sandile is forced into making a bet. And so, so far, he's had to wear the opposition jersey. He's had a 3-degree ice bath. He hasn't worn the season well so far.
Yeah.
Currently in 18th place. Are you taking any bets this week against Chelsea brethren?
Not even with an interim manager. You know, interim manager teams are usually some of the most... Ruud van Nistelrooy
is looking at a 4-1 drubbing here. It's going to be a golden week for the guy.
Yeah, but as a Chelsea fan, I'm also nervous because it's like a team Zombie. Without a real manager can go out there and do whatever the fuck they want. And sometimes that's kind of ball that wins, you know?
Oh, and they will. Yeah. No, when I said 4-1, I think Man United will win this one.
Look, I'm prepared to take a bet if you're prepared to take a bet.
Guys, it's at the Theatre of Dreams. This is the dream right
now. What does that even mean these days?
Ruud van Nistelrooy striding out. I hope if this is his
I'll get a
game.
GGMU tattoo. I'm not even kidding. I will get a GGMU tattoo.
Guys, you guys have... My spirit is broken. I told you guys, we won an 8.
I'm putting my skin in the game, quite literally. I will get a GGMU tattoo if Man United beats Chelsea on Sunday.
For Ruud van Nistelrooy, we'll only probably have one game, right? I want him coming out there, like, in a mink coat, jewelry on... But like, be the manager.
And I just can't believe I'm having a tattoo bit and my hand hasn't been shaken yet. It's like, what the fuck?
No, man, I've been going through hell in this show for the past 9 weeks, man.
I thought you were getting snubbed, so I was going to bring some flavor. Wait,
no, I just need to figure out what he does if Chelsea wins.
What's the trade-off here? You guys
haven't
shaken hands.
I haven't. What? Like,
I'll think of something.
Please, let me know.
Teardrop. Face tattoo.
This Rolls Royce is not getting touched, okay?
You have to kill somebody to earn.
All right, guys, there's also the Carling Cup knockout, which doesn't really count because Pirates aren't in it.
It does count. Come on, don't do that. Because okay, go read the second fixture. Go.
Obviously, I'm being... Kaiser Chiefs versus Sundowns is what Sandile really wants. 6 o'clock on Saturday.
Guys, revenge game. I told you about revenge game. We were cheated and there was a penalty, which was VAR sword was off. So we're playing. It's a home game for Chiefs, guys. Back your boy, Keys.
Ronan Williams back from Ballon d'Or is the ninth best goalkeeper on the planet.
That was right, fam. I don't want to get into Ballon d'Or because I don't want to talk about, you know, how petty it was. But Ronan Williams was the ninth best.
Yeah.
And he had so many clean sheets.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things. You decide the winner and everyone else can have the illusion they're second. When you tell someone, no, sorry, mate, you were ninth. After probably being the best you could possibly be.
And they just throw Donnarumma in there because he's Donnarumma. I'm over it. Anyways, Chiefs doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we're going to wrap up this weekend by talking about the Sao Paulo Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Don't you mean Brazilian? No, apparently not. It's called the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. Because there was some skullduggery within Brazilian motorsport. They wanted to make the Rio de Janeiro Grand Prix.
Oh.
They wanted to be there. And there was talk from Bolsonaro, I think it was, the last president guy.
We don't speak about him.
We're going to have this amazing Rio thing. I mean, any excuse to cut down more rainforest. But then Sao Paulo's like, fuck that. So therefore, we're actually going to name it the Sao Paulo at Interlagos. Is a very different track. So that'll be this weekend. There's four races left in the entire season, two of which are sprint races. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we know, if you win a sprint race and your nearest opponent has an absolute disaster, you can sneak 8 points on him.
Yeah.
So Verstappen's currently 362 points. Norris... 315, and Charles Leclerc, 291. McLaren in the constructors, they're doing well. They're currently winning. The Ferrari 1-2 machine has come back hard in the Western Hemisphere. They're 537. And Red Bull, well, let's be honest, when you got Checo Perez.
Flipping Checo, can you drive the car? You've been saying this for so long, guys.
I have to drop this. His last 10 races, these are his finishes. 17, 7, 10, 17, 8, 6, 7, 7, 17, 7.
Checo, I mean, Ten Hag, man.
What is Max?
Checo Ten Hag.
But you've got to ask, like, what does Max say to Perez before the race? Does he even say good luck?
Nothing. I don't think they speak. They're not on speaking terms.
Like, yeah, whatever, bro.
Also, yeah.
So that's it for the show this week. Thanks so much for joining us with our very cool discussion about American sports. I mean, I, for one, with these two apparel-clad gents on my left over here, have appreciated so much more. And, you know, a lot of the seasons are in the thick of things. So you can watch the NBA, NFL's going. Ice hockey season's going, baseball finishing up.
NASCAR,
it's always going. There's 10 months of that. Catch us back next week. We are going hard on the rugby, as you would imagine. The box season is back underway. Three test matches, three chances to bend over those guys and give them six of the best. PT Pant down. Catch you back next week.
Catch you next week.
Catch you next week. On the bounce.
Yeah.